I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and the Blue Raid with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, X-Chicken, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go!
News and the Blue Raid.
Welcome to New Sound Wave for the week of 219. 219, spring is in the air, guys. Spring is in the air. We still haven't gotten any snow.
Not here. It snowed this morning.
Okay. Well, pass some here because we haven't gotten any snow, and I think it's just God laughing at us.
Well, you are in Texas, so that makes sense.
Well, yeah, for all the snow that we got during the Super Bowl when the world came for a nice winter in Texas. They got 4 inches of snow.
There's no such thing as a nice winter in Texas or a nice summer in Texas, and probably not spring or fall either because it is Texas.
Is this JD? Am I talking to JD? this sounds like Oklahomans taking out all their frustration on me. Okay.
No. This is somebody who has, like, his whole mother's side of his family from Texas, and I can't stand a lot of them.
Okay, see, well...
Jesus.
Wow, so that sounds like...
my God.
Yes, that sounds like a personal issue. But yeah. Anyway.
You have to hate all of Texas.
Hey, I mean, where better to air your personal issues than the video game podcast?
Absolutely. That's where it all comes out. Yeah, so if anybody wants to donate for money towards a couch for XV to kind of sit on every week and just kind of, you know, just kind of let it out, by all means. So guys, this is going to be a great show. This is going to be actually a show with one topic. And let me set the table here. So this is really something that could change the way gaming is conceived from the start, from the making of a game to the distribution of a game to playing the game. So essentially what has happened is this week, Double Fine Entertainment co-founder Tim Schafer released a video for his company about a Kickstarter campaign. Now, Tim Schafer is from LucasArts fame and old-school PC adventure gaming fame, Monkey Island,
and he just
Sam and Max, that kind of stuff.
And maybe like 2 years ago, came out with that Jack Black game.
Let's not worry about that. That's a little less glamorous than Monkey Island and several very old school LucasArts games. But yes, he did work with Jack Black. We're gonna
just for people who you know aren't.
Oh yeah, that's right. For people under 100 years old.
Exactly.
Yes. But yeah, very good. So we won't fault him for that. Everybody makes mistakes. But he did work with Jack Black. This week, he did put out a call to backers to start a Kickstarter campaign saying that he was getting back into the old school adventure gaming game, and he was going to create a game for iOS and Android and PC. So his goal was to raise $400,000 in 30 days. And in just 7 days, he had raised about $2 million and had almost 59,000 backers. Now, that's sure to go up, too, as the month goes on. So, one of the things Double Fine Entertainment said is that if they raised money over and beyond $400,000, it would essentially mean more possibilities for the game itself. And it would also mean more features for the documentary that he's going to shoot about the making of the game. To make it all very open and very public, to complement the idea that it's going to be essentially publicly funded, the game. So now, as of just a couple days ago, he has announced that the game will be for PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, and Android. There's going to be Steam codes for the game. He's going to give out free versions of it. Everybody overseas will probably be happy because they have enough money now to localize the text in French, Italian, German, and Spanish. And if you're thinking this is just really a bunch of people kind of throwing, you know, $4 here, $5 here, little small change at the funding of the game. No. They had 900 slots for people to donate at least $250 to the making of the game for a whole buttload of swag, like not only like a copy of the game, but like signed posters and, you know, thank you cards from the production team and kind of unique things like that. Well, those sold out in just a matter of a few days. So you've got at least 900 people, 900 individuals, or people who donated multiple times at that level, to put in at least $250 into the making of this game, which is a heavy, heavy, heavy investment for what is being called, you know, a mobile game, which is probably going to top out about $10, $15 at the very most. That is a lot of investment. So the expectations of these people will change. It's no longer you buy the game for however much money you want, you feel is a fair price, and then whatever the content of that game, that work of art, if you will, it kind of is what it is. You had no say in it. You are just the judge of it. Now, game players are invested from the start if they want. So their expectations and maybe their demands on the game maker have completely changed. So, guys, this really does change things. And with Double Fine Entertainment's success, there will be many people behind them trying to do the same thing, trying to get public backing, trying to get the game players to fund the game makers. So, guys, I want to get your thoughts on this, and this will be like our topic for the show. And I want to start with Rob. Rob, what are some of your thoughts on this topic?
A lot of the reason that this, you know, got the level of response it did is that, you know, Tim Schafer has a really long reputation for really good adventure games and offbeat games. And, you know, it's kind of like the old anecdote about Picasso. So he did somebody a five-second sketch and asked an exorbitant amount. And when they asked why it was a five-second sketch, he said, yes, but it took me 60 years to learn how to do that five-second sketch. You know, it's that kind of thing. I don't think, you know, it's going to have to take a really strong idea for a new programmer to get anything close to that kind of response. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, having people more invested in the game than if they just, you know, as if they were just going to go buy it, I think you're right. I think in the long run that's a positive thing because, you know, traditional investors in a game may well not be end users and most often aren't. So, you know, hopefully, if there are complaints, they're going to be more, what's the word, more relevant and important, you know, complaints and suggestions and notes than you would get from a traditional producer. That has the capacity to be a really big pain in the butt for developers, but I think it could end up being a positive thing. One question I do have, because I don't know, with the Kickstarter investments, do you get a return on that investment, or is it more of a donation kind of thing?
It's more of a donation. Usually it's the person who's asking for the donation or the group that's asking for the donation almost always has incentives. So you can think of it as essentially like a fund driver for PBS or public radio, where there are tiers for your donation. And this is no different. So, you know, I think the entry level was $15, and then it went as high as $250. And then depending on your pledge, you would get a group of gifts. So obviously starting $15, you get the game as well. And then you go up with the autographed posters and different kinds of marketing materials and, you know, whatever they could come up with. That is the return. Now, if you're asking, like, say, if this game, in theory, went on to make $1 billion, would the backers get any of that? I don't think so.
Okay. Now, it's not impossible that, you know, someone else using this method would not offer that as an incentive, you know, get a return on profits if they exceed X amount.
Yeah.
But that we don't know that that's the case in this situation.
Yeah,
it's not the case for this one specifically. Mm. The highest you can bid for on the Kickstarter for the Double Fine game is $10,000 or more. And two people have paid so far for this. And you get a lunch with Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert, a tour of the Double Fine offices, and all the previous reward tiers, which is like an original painting, a portrait of you, a poster autographed by the team, the game, documentary series, and stuff like that.
There's got to be a tote bag in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be a tote bag. There's probably going to be a tote bag to carry everything, you know.
Backpack.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I don't know what kind of effect that could have, because, I mean, I, like I said, I think it'll be a positive one, because you're going to get people who are, you know, passionate about the ultimate outcome, but whose financial futures are not wrapped up in the game, and that could lead to, you know, like I said, good constructive criticism as opposed to, you know, focus group type crap, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the long run.
Peter, any thoughts on this?
This is definitely going to be, I mean, this is crazy. Like, we've always said recently, I mean, we've always said that, games are getting more and more expensive, and that's why there's less and less creative IP out there. They're all sequels, you know, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 95, in a couple years. So I think this is a great thing. I'm really surprised, on their website, as they said they got 100% funded in over 8 hours, which is pretty insane. Their goal was 400 grand. So they, I mean, who says the economy's dead, right? 400 grand in 8 hours. That's crazy. This is great. I think this opens a really big, you know, door for companies who are just looking to get their start, and they have a big backer like Tim Schafer or something like that, and they say, let's throw it on Kickstarter and see what happens. I've backed up a couple of Kickstarter projects, and they are pretty, you know, they're in their development, and they're gonna get deliveries and stuff soon. So that's pretty cool, just to see people have these great ideas, but just can't pitch it to, like, you know, Shark Tank or whatever kind of thing. So definitely interesting. I look forward to seeing how much it catches on after the success of this. As long as the game doesn't become a brutal legend. You know, kind of thing, but.
Well, if it isn't Brutal Legend, then I'm cool with it. Just as long as it's, and Jack Black is locked out of the building, that'd be great.
Right.
That'd be great. I'll pay for the padlock. Yeah. That's where I want my $15.
Here's $50. Buy the biggest padlock you can find.
That's right.
$20,000 donation gets to name the combination for the padlock that keeps Jack Black out of the building.
That's right.
One, you, Jack two. Black. Damn it, I knew I should have gotten a new, better one.
XV, what do you think when you see something like this?
You know, it's probably just my cynical nature, but I can see Kickstarter projects springing up out of this, and, you know, they'll meet their donation criteria and then just disappear.
Yeah, I don't know if Kickstarter... I'm sure Kickstarter has some level of insurance, some kind of... well, insurance, that something like that doesn't happen. But so here's something to consider. So XV, say that you put up $50.
Is this a random hypothetical?
This is not yet. No. Okay. There's no body fluids or giant feet or anything like that.
Or quills in the mouth.
Or quills in the mouth. That's right. Blue tongue. So say you put up $50, which is a good amount of change for anybody. And the game comes out, and the game sucks. How do you feel as a game backer? Do you feel like you got your money's worth? Do you feel like you were robbed? Do you feel like this is just kind of, you know, rolling the dice?
And see, that's kind of the thing, like Rob brought up before, where Penny Arcade guys were saying, you know, this is getting support because it's a known value. You know, I don't think I would contribute into a project like that if I didn't have confidence in the project leader and the design team behind it to deliver a quality product for whatever portion I want to invest into it. You know, so, I mean, this could be a really great avenue for startup developers who want to get out into the market but don't have any other way to raise the capital. And I think there are people who will take the chance on that because they support the independent game scene. But it's not something I would necessarily see myself getting into.
Now, here's another thought. So, again, the weird thing is this is all about money. And, of course, the world of making video games is fairly mysterious. It's not the most well-known world. Just like really making any other form of entertainment is kind of an inside, closed-door thing. We don't know how they make the sausage. That's going to change a little bit with this project. So do you think that we're going to get some backers, like the ones that even if the ones that are donating 10 grand are studios, who knows, you know, maybe they're studios or maybe they're just like, you know, very, very successful game producers, whatever the case, 10 grand is a lot. So are we going to get things like people trying to see what kind of car Tim Schafer drives or where he's going to eat? Or are we going to get people who are really feel like they have, like their business is knowing how the studio and how the people who work at the studio run not only the business, but their lives? I mean, depending on how much money you put into a game, into this game, are you going to get people who feel like they have the right to know anything they want about the game and that they
kind
have,
of like
they have,
become a big donation-funded church organization?
Yes. So if the preacher is driving a Cadillac,
living high and driving Mercedes on the contributions of their somebody help me with the word.
Constituency, I think, maybe?
Congregation.
Or congregation, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So what do you think, Rob?
Once you got the con part out, it came to me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, are people going to feel like if Tim Schafer's driving a car that they personally feel is too nice, are they going to feel like they've been conned? Rob, what are your thoughts on something like that?
You know, I don't know. I really don't. I'm sure there's got to be somebody who's going to feel like that, because there's always somebody.
Yeah, and I think one of the tricks, obviously, with Kickstarter is that it's great. It opens the world up for new ideas, and it gives you the opportunity to ask the world for help. But you don't know where that money's coming from, and so you're gonna get your fair share of outlandish, over aggressive, intrusive backers.
The mob.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Johnny the Toe.
If I was doing a shirt like that, I don't really want to restrict the cap on the donations just to reduce that risk.
That's a good point.
Don't let somebody donate $10,000 because they might start to get a little possessive.
That's a good point. So that's a great point. So yeah, so maybe $10,000 sounds like a good idea, and you know, maybe you're like, oh, we'll put out 5 slots for 10 grand and you know, we'll see what happens. It's a farce. We don't really expect anybody to take us up on that, and they do. So yeah, so now you're stuck with people who
And that's what happens too if you get like the Pat Lee scenario where they take all the money, put it in a pile to take a picture of it for their investors, and the monkey knocks the candle over it and sets it all on fire.
Yes.
Yeah. I think when it hits the internet, there's always gonna be some crazy people out there who have these. You know, they're crazy in real life, and most of the people are just like, you're crazy. You're asking too much. But on the internet, everyone's like, yeah, he's right. And it's like, this guy's nuts.
Yeah, because nuts is cool on the internet, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's standing up for everything. And it's like, this guy's crazy. He's that smelly person that you don't want to sit next to at lunch.
He's counterculture, man. He's counterculture. He's awesome. Monkey Island. Yeah! I was negative 10 when Monkey Island came out. This is awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, I think ultimately with this, this is good, but I think there's a lot of bad possible after it, because a lot of people are going to see, okay, in a week they did $2 million. You know, a lot of people are going to try to jump on this bandwagon, and it's not going to go as well as what this probably will.
Welcome to the Theater of the Eye.
Rods and cones, report to the orbital side.
How nice. We're trimming the toenails. What's that?
Optic nerve.
This is the brain. What's going on down there?
The eardrum's going off! Go get him!
We're having a breakdown. We're having a breakdown. We're having a breakdown. Having a breakdown. We're having a breakdown.
What else can go wrong?
Surgeons in apps on line 2. It's the sphincter.
What is going on out there?
Sega Saturn.
People, this is not a test. We are at DEFCON 5. Alpha Sector.
Check.
Tango Sector.
Check.
Delta Sector.
Only Sega Saturn has three 32-bit processors.
Delta Sector!
Three processors mean better gameplay.
Delta Sector, you hear me?
Sony PlayStation only has one.
Three, two, one.
When you've got Sega Saturn, nothing else matters.
Sega!
With new attacks. New super combos. Killer graphics. And even deadlier characters. Just about everyone's getting into Street Fighter Alpha. Bring it home.
Buy Sega Saturn now, and while supplies last, we'll give you three top-selling arcade games free. That's Virtua Cop, Daytona USA, and Virtua Fighter 2. $189 value, free.
New Soundwave.
Okay, let's go to new releases. Ooh, new releases. This is a big one, guys. This is the official release week for the PS Vita. Yay! Hooray! So, last week, actually, some people got the Vita a week ahead of time, and like half of the launch games came out because of that. It was a little sloppy. So apparently a few months ago you could order a first edition Vita and you'd get the first ones off the boat. And then I guess Sony realized, oh hey, people are going to have the Vita a week early. We need to put out like some launch games for those people who are our most dedicated fans. Let's throw some stuff out. So last week, that's why you saw some Vita games on the release docket. This week, the Vita is actually officially out. And then also
so basically
this week,
what it is for the majority of people, they could go buy a Vita game a week before they could actually purchase the machine.
Yes.
Yes. Hooray, Sony!
I can't remember a launch for almost any system that went actually what I would call smoothly. There's always like a kink in every system launch that I can remember. There's always something that doesn't make
sense.
Well,
I mean, are you counting like unavailability of hardware as a kink, or?
Well, I guess you could. I guess.
I'm just saying what went wrong with like the PlayStation 2 launch, for instance.
I guess nothing. I guess that one was pretty smooth. The PS1 was pretty smooth. The Saturn was a mess, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Well, it was
yes.
The Saturn.
Well, God bless it. Tried. yeah, the Saturn was a mess. The Saturn was a launch where I was greatly looking forward to it, and it happened like way earlier than everyone expected, and it was like, oh, it's here, and
including the developers.
Yeah, so and they were like, oh, really? Okay, you know, order a pizza. We're working late. Need to make, you know, this game had to be done like 3 weeks ago, I guess. So yeah, so the Vita is off to a great start. Let me just add too that Sony this week has had to deny rumors that developers are already canceling Vita development and moving to the 3DS. So yeah, that's not a story you want on launch week. No.
Despite what you guys may think, which maybe or may not be true, we are we're stronger than ever.
That's right.
I promise.
Full steam ahead. Everybody loves this.
We're Sony. Fire stuff.
Yeah, it's not that people don't want to buy it. People aren't buying it because they're just too hyped. They're just too speechless and beside themselves. They can't make it out to the stores because
they can't even move.
That's right.
They're like, Vita.
They're like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Vita.
That's right. We're too much awesome for people to comprehend. That's why they're not buying it.
But boy, just think about that for a second. If developers are jumping ship off the Vita for the 3DS.
Hey.
It's
things
Nintendo,
change,
baby.
Man. Things change.
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Making a comeback.
Yeah, that's right. It only took them, a year and a half, I guess, to get it right. They also, cut the price by, 60%. That's okay. Okay, so, yes, if you're one of the people that are getting a Vita, Nothing personal. But what else is coming out for the Vita this week? Ninja Gaiden. Touch My Katamari.
What?
Awesome name.
What no, awesome thank name. You.
Just touch it. Let's see here. Dynasty Warriors, God. Next, Army Corps of Hell, Hustle, Kings, Tales from Space, Stardrome Extreme, and then last week were the games that people actually want. Uncharted, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and then I think a golf game because, you know, sports. Also coming out this week, Alan Wake's American Nightmare for the Xbox Live Syndicate for 360 PS3. Azura's Wrath, and Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D for the 3DS. Peter, you into Alan Wake? Is that the one that you wooed for?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of game is that? Is that like a survival horror or what?
They call it a psychological thriller. So it's pretty much the same idea as like light mechanics and gun mechanics. Pretty much what you do is there's these guys that are possessed. In the original Alan Wake game, there's these guys that are possessed in this area during, especially at nighttime, and you have to shine your light onto them, and then they lose like this darkness shield, and you shoot them in the face. It's definitely a game that I didn't play at night, because it is definitely like a horror kind of, it's definitely a scary game. But this is like a spin-off, so it's the same idea, and it's a different setting, and it's just like a side story that's not part of the same like Alan Wake storyline, because apparently they're making the second one somewhere down the line.
Okay, so this is like Alan Wake 1.5, that kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that. Because it is an Xbox Live title, and it's part of Xbox Live has this promotion where they just keep pushing these specific Xbox Live games that just keep coming out, and they're just like, oh, get this game, and it's like a part of a package. Every week, I think, or every couple weeks, they'll keep pushing one game. So it gets a lot of hype, so. And Alan Wake is co-produced, I believe, by Microsoft Studios, so good benefit for all of them.
Aha, the truth comes out. Very nice. Okay, very nice. Well, yeah, Alan Wake is kind of like a cult following, too. Like, I've heard a lot of hype for this game, too.
The original was good. It only took five years to make. But it's definitely, it's a fun game. I liked it a lot, so. You can probably pick it up for pretty cheap right now.
Excellent. Okay, guys. Time for the random hypothetical. This is a good one. This is a very, very simple, question. Would you cut off your own hand or cut off your best friend's hand without any explanation? XV.
Is there, like, some reward for this or
jail? If you cut off your friend's hand, you must face jail and punishment and all that good stuff. So, or you can cut off your own hand. What's it gonna be?
Does it have to be my best friend's hand? Can't I just go like get some bum off the street?
No, your best friend. You cut off your hand or your best friend's hand without explanation. You just walk up to him or her.
Well,
and
first it would be without explanation. There's no point in cutting off someone's hand if you explain it to the man.
Well, yeah, because then you're going to have to explain the hypothetical, and then you're going to have to explain the show, and then you're going to have to explain that it went through all these format changes. And give me your hand. That kind of thing.
So. Actually, when you put it that way, it sounds more fun to do with the explanation.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. Nice. Okay, so, all right, we'll come back to XV for a definite answer. Rob, what say you, man?
Well, if those are the only choices, I would rather not cut somebody else's hand off and be in jail. I'll cut my own off and face whatever psychological treatment would inevitably come from that.
Rob
is
a hero. You know,
really nice prosthetics now, too.
Yeah, oh. You could get like a cool hook or all sorts of like, like a supervillain, you could get all sorts of like extensions, like a laser, you know, that kind of
chainsaw
pizza cutter. On pizza night, we always call Rob because Rob always can cut the pizza. All right, Peter. Peter's really thinking.
As long as I get something cool to put on the other hand.
Wow. Okay. Man, it almost sounds like we want to cut off our hand for the cool, like...
As long
cool
as I get, like, an attachment where I can put, like, a chainsaw or a hook.
Yes, you can do whatever you want, man. You can do whatever you want.
John, like, what's a gun, your, you know. John, what's your angle on this?
Let me think.
What would you do?
I would sacrifice my own hand because I am noble, unlike XV, who I know is just trying to scheme here. So yes.
But there's nary.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've weighed the pros and cons of this, and I have to say I would probably cut off somebody else's hand before my own.
There you go. All right.
Even if it meant some jail time. Now, you know, that wouldn't be like, you know, attempted murder or anything, so it would only be a few years.
That's right. And what is a few years, right? When you got both your
hands. And if I could convince somebody that I was insane at the time, there wouldn't even be jail time. I would just go into a nice institution until I was ready to, you know, rejoin society.
Once again, we've learned that XV is the master of the random hypothetical. That depth of thought is unmatched. So that'll do it for New Soundwave for the week of 219. Until we see you next week, everybody, keep gaming. And if you get a Vita, get help.
2-1-0. Game over.
I can't quit now, Luigi. I was born with a plunger in my hand.
I know. Boy was awfully hard on Mom.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.